I woke up Thursday morning, I'm sure like many of you, in sort of a fatigued daze. We had spent that night with the window open, having no power, and we're right here on the corridor of the entryway to Pleasant Grove. And all we heard all night long was sirens coming and going, coming and going, coming and going, just in and out of sleep, praying, going back to sleep, praying, waking up. And just woke up in that daze. And really my greatest source of distress was one of our teachers, our second grade teacher, we'd not been able to get in touch with. And she lives in Pleasant Grove. And we actually didn't get in touch with her till almost 11 o'clock that day. And she's fine and her family's fine. And, you know, another one of these miracle stories of two or three streets all around gone, their house stands. And I know there's testimony after testimony of God's goodness in the midst of this. The Glens, two trees fall, just miss their children's rooms by a few feet. I'm just God's, you know, intervention. I remember three different people told me, and this is difficult to say because there's communities that are devastated, but I just want to give testimony to God's goodness. Three people told me they physically saw the tornado heading right to Fairfield and it took a right hand turn. And just, you know, I got up that later that night. I remember it was dark, obviously, and I walk out and I look down the street and the crosses are lit in Linda Chandler's house. I was like, whoa, you know. And then I go down the street and I look and the church, the school, and the clinic are all lit up. Nothing else is lit up. It was such a just a sign of hope. And then my daughter says, well, does God love Linda Chandler better than He loves us? I said, no, sweetie. But she does intercede, and you know, God answers prayer. She outprays all of us. So, but just seeing that, and I was telling Dwayne on his porch last night, I said, I really haven't had these emotions like this since 9/11. That oppressive sort of just depleted feeling. I know many of you have had the same thoughts. And that's where we find the disciples in our gospel reading today. They've just experienced a storm. And they're locked behind closed doors emotionally, physically. They have failed their Lord grotesquely. They abandoned Him on His way to the cross. They're in fear and they're in anxiety. And questioning, I'm sure they were like, what? Where is God's goodness in this? Where's the visible sign of His mercy? Where, you know, what's going to happen next? How are we going to get through this? And Jesus answers these questions with a miraculous action. It says He came and He stood among them. Just think about that. What is that? What statement does that make? He came, he didn't open the door, He didn't knock, He wasn't invited. Without invitation, He comes and He stands among them. And He was saying, I will complete the work I've begun in you. It ain't over. You can shut down, you can shut in. With or without invitation, I'm coming. I will complete this work in you, through you, and around you. This process has been put in motion and it will not be reversed. This was a hopeful action and event. This was a resurrection moment in the life of the disciples. And I believe Jesus was living out and displaying one of these pictures of the kingdom found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Listen to these words. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. That's a hope-filled picture. Let me read that again. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. This is leavening represents this unstoppable, supernatural, invisible, Eucharistic process that Jesus put in motion. It's interesting. Leaven typically in Scripture is used to describe death and sin, the spreading of death and sin. Jesus flips the script here. And He uses leaven to show life and hope and transformation. And I really believe it's because the Jews, they were constantly obsessed with the cure and the cleansing for sin through all the rites and rituals. And Jesus is standing among them in this parable, and he's saying, that is over. It is finished. You are forgiven, and death is swallowed up in life. Yay and amen. You quit looking for that. It's done. Your righteousness is imputed. It's based on what I did on the cross. It is finished. Now, the process of leavening will continue until it fully consumes you, till you are fully alive, making all things new. Leavening, many of you, I'm sure, we have wonderful cooks in this church, could describe it better than me, but I go to Wikipedia. A process that causes dough to rise as air bubbles are trapped and it expands the dough. And there's ways, chemical, biological, mechanical ways that this is done, but this is, Jesus is describing a supernatural process whereby he enters into every area of our life and brings resurrection life and power, with or without invitation. That's the process that's being described here in us, through us, and around us, this supernatural process. After church last week, I was talking with one of our members on the sidewalk, and he said, places started coming alive that have been shut down for years. That's the leavening process that's described here. And we were talking about allowing our Lord to come in with invitation and saying, address my character flaws, address my attitudes, address my destructive habits. Come in. I was sharing my example, and it's a simple one, and I have much more profound issues than this, of the room that I have trouble keeping straight. That Millie was like, "I'm tired. You keep that room straight. Now, your bad habit." And I said, that's a character flaw. And it's like the Lord said, yeah, you take everything else so serious. What about this? The gospel applies here. And now, this is what I've come. Since I told you all that story, it's brought about this public accountability where people are asking my wife how my room is. So this morning, I'm leaving. I'm in a rush. And I'm like, oh, I got to put these clothes away. Someone's going to ask the church how the room is. We really have a picture in our gospel reading of this leavening process. It's a beautiful picture where Jesus stands in their midst and he says, shalom, peace. That's a restoration word. That's a word of setting things right and in order, making them beautiful again. Peace. And then he breathes life, breathes the Holy Spirit on them, breathes life into that situation. Don't you see the leavening process here? What he's walking out with the disciples. And it is supernatural, but let me say this. It is supernatural. This leavening process is supernatural, but it's not easy. Don't let anybody tell you that it is. There's a rehab to this. There's a realignment. There's a rebuilding. There's time and discipline and all the ways that the Lord deals with us. And he's put it in motion, and it's unstoppable, and it will consume us. With or without invitation. Now, with invitation is a better way, right? Humble yourself or be humbled. Which one do you want? You know, it's much better to bow our knee than to be forced to our knees, right? So we want to say, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Every area, whatever the area is, I'm open. Come in. Speak shalom and order and beauty. Bring back your intention here the way it ought to be in this area in my life. Leavening is an invisible process. Tammy was talking about that this morning. How, you know, we just, when things occur like it's just occurred, it's so hard to see the light in the darkness. But there's this, this is hope. God is always at work redeeming things behind the scenes. Always. Doesn't matter if you and I see it. Now, we might need a reminder like Elisha's servant who were surrounded. They're about to die and he's panicking. And Elisha says a quick prayer, open his eyes. And he sees the horses and the horses and chariots of fire. More are for us than are against us. The kingdom of God is invisible. It's always working. Always permeating. always active, redeeming, restoring, renewing. Your prayers are not in vain. That's part of the leavening process that you hurl into the darkness. And you may not see it, but I'm telling you, He's answering your prayers. Robert Mayo had a dream a couple of weeks ago, and he shared it with me of a white tornado. And we were both, you know, spouse really thinking about that, Robert, obviously. And white, we believe, represented revival. Of course, the tornado represents a devastating wake-up call. A devastating wake-up call that reminds us how utterly dependent and desperate we are for Jesus. That our very life, our very breath, life is fragile, it's fleeting. We're so reliant on Him and we're so prone to take security and comfort elsewhere. We lull to sleep really quickly. But our Lord is on the move in the midst of the devastation. He's at work. And His chief ambition is to turn people's hearts back to Himself. Lastly, the leavening process is Eucharistic. The bread is taken and it's blessed with that deposit of leaven, and then it's broken and it's given. Three measures of flour here is 50 pounds. It could feed 100 people. And in this leavening process, we become the bread of Christ for the world to feast upon. He takes us. The word to be taken is to be reminded that He accepts us even in the midst of our most grotesque failures. He takes us. That's what the disciples' greatest need that day was, for Him to come in and stand there and say, "You belong to Me despite what you have done or ever will do, period, yea and amen. You're Mine. You're taken." And we have to be reminded of that, don't we? That He accepts us based on the merits of His Son. The covenant was cut between the Father and the Son. That's the strength of the covenant. We belong to Him. He accepts us. He blesses us. Consistently filling every area of our life with His shalom and with His resurrection power. Consistently pursuing us with or without invitation. And then He breaks us of everything we depend on other than Him. It's a lifelong process, isn't it? And then He gives us. And in our brokenness, we start responding to the brokenness of the world the same way He responds to my brokenness. Jesus departed by saying, "I send you as the Father has sent me." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and confess the creed.